Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it is July 13th.
The 13th of July. Nothing special about that date. Is it? Is it some kind of a something? No.
No, but Bastille Day, I think, is coming up.
What? We don't celebrate that here.
No, but if you did, no, but we could.
And what would we do if we would?
Chop some heads.
I like it. Just kind of, maybe we can kind of go around and find out what holidays we like and then start celebrating those, you know?
There you go. Now you're talking.
Yeah, get rid of the boring ones, you know, and kind of replace them with some other holidays of other countries that are just, you know, dynamite. You know, like the day of the colors days they have in India, or the Mexican Day of the Dead. Those are kind of fun.
Yeah, there's also that North Korea celebration. They have that once a year that fills up the stadium with dancers.
And they have where they march with that funny marching, their missiles down Park
Avenue.
Yeah,
and they march with that stupid stiff-legged march.
Yeah.
It's got to be bad on the back.
Got to be really bad on the back. Every time I look at that, I'm like, oh, that looks
hurt. And then it looks painful.
Painful, and then they got to look left, they got to look right. And, I'm sure the training wasn't like, hey, you're not doing it quite right. Can you adjust? No, I'm sure it was a quick snap of a bamboo stick on the back.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of things going on, as always. Up, up, and away he goes. Sir Richard Branson goes up to space this weekend. It was kind of exciting. I was kind of like moved by it. Not like terribly moved, like probably maybe my parents were or some other people when we got that first, you know, Neil Armstrong made it to space. But I kind of was like, this is kind of cool, because I was looking past just the fact that he went up in an airplane pretty much and got up to an area that had microgravity, not zero gravity, microgravity, which was pretty much due to the inversion of the aircraft and then it floating back down.
Yeah, you can do that in a big cargo plane. They do that.
Right. So it wasn't like they were up there and it was just, you know, zero gravity.
No, it's bull crap.
Yeah, it was,
the whole thing was a stunt.
Yeah, but it was kind of interesting. I thought it was kind of.
I have a Substack column on it this week. Maybe later.
I'm a big fan of Richard Branson's. One thing that they did that kind of annoyed me a little bit that I found out today was he came up supposedly to the launch site that day on a bicycle. Now he has
I heard that too,
but that was BS. They admitted They admitted he did not come up on a bicycle that day. That was taped on July 5th.
Oh, so they're just making this ridiculous.
Yeah, and he has some kind of a deal.
He seemed nervous to me on the plane, on that little rocket.
I don't blame him. Well, he always kind of fumfers around with it. You know, he always has a little bit of, I don't want to call it a stammer, but a little bit of an edgy talking method. I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun. I enjoyed it. Disney's making some moves. South Africa. I talked to my friend in South Africa just on Sunday. They're closing restaurants, schools, and banning the sale of alcohol again due to, as he called it, the third wave. The third wave is happening. Australia's in a lockdown. Positivity rates. I thought we were over with all this, John. What's going on? I thought this whole thing about, you know, the charts and the graphs and the, you know, the outbreaks and the positivity.
They don't know how to get out of this loop.
I really thought it was over. No, seriously, I thought it was
done. It is over.
Oh, it is. Okay, good. Because now all of a sudden I'm seeing a lot of new things popping up again, you know. And
that's because, you know, there's Pfizer has a lot to do with it. They're trying to push this booster before you. The other one's not 6 months old. Not even 6 months. It's like, for most people, the shot was 4 months ago. Now they want to give them a booster already after two shots. It's just getting out of control.
It was kind of impressive that the CDC said, now.
You know, no, like, they finally, somebody's like, going to put their foot down on this stuff.
I don't think so. You can make all that what you want, all those boosters. Now they're doing some mixing and matching, too. It's like, you know, I'm not sure. Yes,
which was a violation in the early days, if you recall.
I know. It's like, wait a minute. I have an idea. This is what I want you to do. When I give you the first shot, I want you to hold your nose. Right afterwards, I want you to have a Diet Coke. The second shot, we're going to change it up. You're not going to get the Pfizer. You're going to get the AstraZeneca. And we do that. I want you to stand on your head, count to 12, and then right afterwards, you have to have a steak dinner. That is going to be the absolute combination that works. Does it kind of seem like that?
Yeah, and then they're also encouraging people who got the Johnson & Johnson to quote-unquote top off to the Pfizer.
Oh, kind of like a floater on a rum runner.
Exactly. Yes, a floater.
So it's a floater, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take a, you know, give me one more shot of that rum in there. To
bar drinks for anybody out there who doesn't know what we're saying.
And we have places with $5 per gallon. There's a question whether we're going to get to places with $5 per gallon of gas, which is, I think, what we're seeing.
$5 here.
You know what this is? This is the last hurrah for combustion engines. This is the last hurrah for Saudi Arabia, OPEC, to just rape us all. Because after that, there's not going to be the need like it is.
Oh, yeah. No, there's going to be no need because we're all going to be in electric cars.
Electric cars or in tubes. Or
tubes.
Yeah, we're going to be some kind of a tube going somewhere at a high velocity that requires only like air or something like that. But the I think in California, they are, I think it's California, they are firming up the ban of any combustion engines by like 2035.
Of new ones. You can still resell your old one.
Right. But doesn't that also mean that we should be thinking about buying some cars and storing them? They'll be a collector's item, won't they?
Well, I think there's enough people that do that already.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're collector's items. I mean, there's, you know, it's like, let's find some old steam engines. What about one of those cars that used to run Lyrium?
What is that? What's Lyrium?
I remember Bill Lear and his Lyrium?
Oh, Lear. I do remember Bill Lear, but what was that?
Yeah, Bill Lear, who invented the Lear jet. He had a steam car that was used Lyrium instead of water, which as far as I could tell was just water. And he had, it was a little steam car. It was in, I think, the 70s, 80s. I don't remember when. No, it was, I can't remember when it was, but I do remember it quite distinctively because it was just another eye roller of an idea. Mm. People can look up Lyrium.
Lyrium. Look at the things that you learn on this show. I'm always impressed of what I learned on the show with your, seriously, with the wealth of, you have a wealth of insignificant knowledge, as I call it. Yeah. Totally insignificant knowledge that is fascinating, frankly. I think
it might be significant someday. I'm storing it. I'm hoarding it.
This is kind of like if you want to play Trivial Pursuit and stuff, and you're like, hey, Horowitz, how do you know that? I heard Dvorak tell me that. He said something about it there. About Lyrium. I know, though, you know, what was the alternative water steam engine of the 80s? Oh, Lyrium, of course.
Well, Lyrium was the fuel, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the boiling, the substance you boiled.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a market update. Earnings season begins actually today. We have Goldman Sachs. We have JP Morgan. We had Pepsi Cola all this morning. And listen, just like every time, it's the same old, same old. We're going to get to that in a minute. We have new highs across the board as of yesterday, as of last Friday, even though there is some question about what is going on. But it looks like the momentum is still there. The rotation is back to high tech and technology. And I think the as they call it, the panty trade, not the panty, though the panty trade. The pan.
Why is it panty? What's like, panty mean?
Panty means pandemic. It's short.
Oh,
the panty. Geez. You know, what do you think of the panty? You know, what did you do? What did you do in the panty? How did you work out in the panty? What did you eat in the panty? It's panty. Huh. The panty. The panty trade, which is, again, as we see these positivity rates rising, et cetera, lockdowns, we're seeing that there's a big turn, once again, on those things that were like Netflix over an AMC or maybe a Peloton over a Planet Fitness or maybe, you know, some of the technology over the energy companies. So that's happening as we speak. Big move over the last several weeks that have benefited technology, healthcare over the financials and energy in a big way, which was exactly opposite of what we've been talking about. That's been pretty exciting to watch from October through last month.
Yeah.
So it's back to all that. So we'll see what happens with regard to the, I wonder if I put this down here. Oh, I wonder if I, hopefully I put, yeah, I think I did. I talked about, I have a really fascinating discussion from FactSet about the earnings season, why this particular earnings season is so much different in one aspect than the majority of earnings seasons over the past 20 years. Really interesting. We're going to talk about that too. Let's see. China's clamping down. Seems that, I don't know, protection for its citizens, money grab, or just a lesson, the whole Didi issue. And then we saw other IPOs being pulled. And China is now going after all sorts of, I don't know, it looks like companies with money to me. That's what it looks like to me. For some reason or the other. You know, whether it's, of all countries, I never thought of China as a country that really cared about privacy of their citizens, right? Because they were pretty much stealing it all the time.
Yeah, but they're concerned about privacy of their leaders.
Privacy of the leaders, I understand that. That's not unreasonable. But now they're talking about, and I don't think the leaders took the DDs for, you know, or ordered in or got deliveries from them. I don't think so. But maybe. But I think the whole thing where they had the information on all of the users and they were concerned that they were not locked up and that possibly servers were outside of China and how they maybe had it changed the way they protected their data. And that's why they were getting the big kibosh from China on Didi was kind of weird.
Hmm.
So Didi, which we picked for the game last week, is had a good day today. I think it was up 11% today. So there you go. Thursday, really interesting move in the markets on Thursday. Wow, that was Thursday. It seems like a month ago. On Thursday, I was wondering, well, what is going on? You know, we saw the interest rates on bonds move from 1.75% on the 10-year recently down to 1.5, 1.4, 1.3. On Thursday, it ticked 1.25%. This is an environment that everything's fine. Everything's just wonderful. And why is it that all of a sudden there is a flocking towards bonds, a safety trade? If this whole
I'm still not seeing that bond crash that was predicted 5 years ago.
Listen, eventually you'll be right. So
yeah. Hey, I'm right. Finally made it.
Here's the problem with your bond crash. You did have a bond crash. It was because of the pandemic. But immediately the Fed stepped in and just scooped everything up. And they're still doing it at $120 billion a month. You can't have both ways on this. You know, the idea that, well, we have a free market, but if we have a free market and things don't go well, things are going to go bad. And if they go bad, that's bad for everybody. So therefore, we have to protect it. I don't know. You know, we have companies that are zombies that they're holding up. That's not free market and capitalism, is it?
No.
I mean, I think we could.
Haven't seen free market capitalism since.
Since when? Eisenhower.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, you might as well say that. Yeah. I mean,
seriously. No, don't you think that we've socialized our economic system?
Sure looks like it.
And everybody's all happy. Like, oh, man, you know, I got money in the market. It's so great. You know, America's the best thing ever. Free markets. I'm like, dude, free markets. Are you kidding me? And then people are all like, hey, this is terrible. It's all rigged. I'm like, if it's rigged and you know it's rigged, why not just play along? If you know that if you walk up to the blackjack table and the cards are all rigged in your favor, do you say, you know what? I'm not playing here. This sucks.
You bitch and moan.
This sucks, man. I'm not playing on that blackjack. It's rigged, that blackjack table. Everybody's winning. I don't want any part of that. You know, that's kind of what people do.
Yeah. Well.
You know, you have to realize that there are times that there will be issues that arise. But at the same time, everybody wants the same outcome. There are a few people that are miserable people that just want the whole thing to fall apart. And burn it down.
And that's all they do is discuss it.
Right. That's all they do is discuss
like
it.
Like me and the bonds.
Yeah. But you should have been right. You should have been right during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a weird one, but that was not what you expected.
You should still be right, but okay.
But you can't be right with a Fed that's going to be purchasing all of this.
No.
You know, it just can't be. But Thursday,
they can't go the other way either. As far as I'm concerned, there's no worse investment than these bonds.
The bonds are yielding. Listen, if the bond is yielding 1.5%, but inflation that came out today is annualized at 3.4%. I hate to break it to you, but you're missing. You're losing money. You're losing 2%.
Yeah. Go find a stock that pays 5% dividend.
Right. And that's why everybody's going towards
there.
And when on Thursday, last Thursday, when the bonds were going down and all of a sudden they went down to 1.25% and the market just freaked out. As the bond yields were coming down, technology had been doing much better. We saw the sell-off because the yield curve was flattening of the financials. It was kind of, everything was turned upside down from where it was. But all of a sudden, I think what happened was, it's like, wait a minute. Why are we at 1.25% and everything just busted? The bond market said was saying, "Hey, you know what? This is a big problem." People were thinking that it was all about a new and a revival of the whole lockdowns around the world and the economic slowdown, as opposed to rates were so high compared to other countries that are negative interest rates that other countries were coming in like hand over fist, buying our bonds, and it started just to snowball. So.
Yeah, it's quite possible.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all the things that are going on. We saw inflation that came out today. Really, 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 really hot. Highest levels since 2008. Kind of breaking the numbers. Today, the inflation rate came out month over month at 0.9%. Month over month. Annualized, what is that? What is that? 9 times 12, what is that, 11%?
It's like, yeah, something like
10.8.
That.
10.8. And then on a year-over-year, it's 3.4. So, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's over yet. But, you know, this was a big problem. It was this idea that we had, you know, just this temporary, transitory could also be for a long period of time, right?
Yeah, it's another baffling number.
I mean, transitory doesn't have to be 1 month. It can be 6 months. And the Fed will be right because inflation is always transitory. You can't have inflation, unless you're like a third world country like Venezuela or something, you know, or Turkey. You can't have inflation that is running forever. It would just, you won't have an economy left. Once prices get to a certain level, there's a natural, hey, well, again, there are certain circumstances in a country or in a an economy that you don't have a choice, right? Where you have absolutely no supply and everybody's fighting over that one carton of eggs, probably you're going to see massive inflation of eggs, right?
Yeah, that would be very inflationary.
Right.
And we're trying to create that here, it looks like to me, with all these shortages.
Well, that's exactly what's going on. I mean, the shortages are unbelievable. It's all sorts of products.
Yeah.
Is it going to end?
These shortages are very dubious and sketchy.
I mean, there is that discussion about, you know, the just-in-time manufacturing process that wasn't geared to be in a situation where there's an on-off economy. Turn the economy off and then turn it back on. But I mean, why is this? How is this even happening? There's no more people on the earth than there was beforehand. Well, there's less people now, but before the pandemic, right?
Yeah, basically. Basically,
do they have more needs to wipe their ass to eat certain foods? I mean, what is the problem?
I think it's rigged. Somebody's come up with a scheme, noticing that if you can put, you know, certain commodities, rubber, which seems to go throughout the. You know, it's more here and there than you'd imagine. Just cut off the supply for a while and see what happens. Cut off the supply of this and or that and see what happens. And then if it goes skyrocketing, and now you know you got something here, you can play with it.
I mean, lumber went up to a 1700, back down to 700.
Still high.
I agree with you, but from the top, that's a pretty. Not only was a very significant. Increase. I mean, look, that drop was unbelievable.
Yeah, the drop was pretty spectacular.
So I don't know. This whole thing is very troubling. It is very dubious, as you, as you state, you know, it seems to me that once you start the inflation process, it's just like getting the tube of toothpaste out, squeezing a little bit and realizing, you know what, I took too much. I want to get some back in. No.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, not happening. So pretty amazing. Just amazing. And then there's also so much money in the system that people will go out and actively purchase for $30 on top of your subscription, Walt Disney's Black Widow. Did you buy it?
I thought you'd be getting that free.
No. Why should you get it free if they could charge you for it?
Well,
$215 million between box office and Disney Plus premier access accounts. They announced that Marvel Studios' Black Widow debuted to an estimated total of more than $215 million globally over the weekend, including $80 million in domestic box office, $78 million in international box office, and well over $60 million in Disney Plus premier access consumers spent globally. So that's number one. These guys are unbelievable. You know, I want to state something about this $30 for the movie. If you, let's say that you, the four of us, you and I and our wives, we go out to the movies. We're going to spend more than $30 for the four of us, right?
Yeah.
So getting together in your house and watching a movie with four or five, six people isn't that much more money than actually going out to the movies. Although the movie theater is a different experience.
Well, yeah, and you can also stop the movie at home.
Right.
But the problem you have with, I think all these movies, this movie is not that, it's not that great. I have a screener. I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's better as it gets on. I couldn't watch more than 10, 15 minutes of it. It's just like, no.
Okay. Not up your alley. Not your kind of.
No, I like these. I like the Marvel films. I like the storylines, but this is like a little sappy at the opening. It just takes too long to get to the action.
It's like Wonder Woman. Did you watch Wonder Woman?
1984? I couldn't watch that either. It's the same kind of thing.
Do you know how many times it took me to get through that?
I don't care.
I know. Do you know how many times it took me to get through that Wonder Woman 1984?
If you watch the Superman movie, do you really need the whole backstory of where it came from and the kryptonite and the whole thing? No.
Start out with a major chase.
It's like Fast and Furious.
Right.
Just start out rocking it, you know, as best you can. I think like one of the early middle ones, it was like not Tokyo Drift. Maybe it was either two or four. I can't remember. But there was one that came out that was nothing but action. And I was on an airplane trying to watch a movie I wanted to watch. And the person next to me had Fast and Furious on. I couldn't keep my eyes off their screen.
Yeah, I know. That's what you have. You start off with somebody, you know, diving off a big building and maybe parachuting and then a chase scene.
Remember the way there's all the early James Bond
movies. James Bond all started with a massive chase scene.
It started off with action. Mm-hmm. It didn't start off with a kid's story. It's just boring. And who cares one way or the other? Oh, now we understand why she became the way she did. I don't care. This is not, you know, Jane Austen novel.
Although I thought the one movie that did give you just a backstory with relatively little action was The Joker.
The Joker was a different kind of film. The Joker was not an action movie.
Exactly.
It was a suspense thriller.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a psychological suspense. So it was a psychological thriller is what it was, which is a style of movie that Marvel doesn't really do that much of. But that's not what this is. Black Widow is not a psychological thriller by any means.
I'm waiting for Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes looks really interesting. We'll see how that plays out.
Oh, God. I'm sick of these films.
I understand. Disney also increased the price of ESPN Plus by, I think, $1 starting next month.
Why? The thing's just useless after the basketball playoffs are over. What's the point?
Because they could do it.
Because they can. Good luck keeping that model afloat.
Because they can. We have three items related to COVID. Number one, Johnson & Johnson. The FDA will soon announce a new warning on J&J's COVID-19 vaccine related to potential rare autoimmune disorders, according to WAPO. Then you got Thailand has changed. This is what I was talking to you before about. This is exactly what I was talking about. Thailand has changed its vaccine policy to mix China's Sinovac with the AstraZeneca vaccine in a bid to boost protection.
What, did they stir it up in a big pot?
I don't know. They may put it together, put it in a little tea kettle. Put
some dry ice in there, stir it up.
It's ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. Yeah, J&J also going to have some warnings to think about some heart issues. Pfizer and BioNTech announced Thursday that they're developing a COVID-19 booster shot intended to target the Delta variant as concerns rise about the highly transmissible strain that is already the dominant form of the disease in the United States. You know, I will tell you that the pandemic has brought out big words. Like, have you ever listened to Scott Gottlieb and him talking about, you know, variabilities and transmissibilities? And
yeah, this is always a sign to me of that the bullshit is flying.
Yeah, exactly. So the CDC wasn't happy with that announcement from Pfizer. But you know what? They still haven't gotten full approval for the basic vaccine. Right?
No, I know. And they're already talking about a booster. They're never going to get approval for that thing because it's. I don't think you can approve it. It's so dangerous. Hmm.
Now, I know you. I was listening to No Agenda, which you can listen to Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak on Thursdays and Sundays. Adam had a great show recently on Joe Rogan just last week. You'll listen to that and see that video as well. But you were a bit nasal and congested this weekend.
Was I?
I think so. You said,
did I sound nasally?
I think that they said, Adam said, hey, what's going on? You sound really congested.
Yeah.
Are you still congested?
No, I mean, it was, I didn't get the right hours of sleep, or I sneezed too many times. It was something, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't anything I had except the conditions from the weather.
Now, you still didn't get the vaccine?
No.
And you're not planning on getting it?
No, I don't see any reason why, now that the pandemic's actually passed.
All right. I got you. I'm with you. Just stay well. Need you around. Speaking about other people that are important, it seems very important. Very, very, very important. Elon Musk. He's got a court trial going on right now about the SolarCity acquisition a number of years ago. Remember where his cousin owned the company?
Scamish. Yes, it was scamish. We talked about it when it happened. Everybody knew that was just some sort of a hide the card game. They were doing something tricky to get to balance the books.
Yeah, they basically that SolarCity was also probably going to go out of business if Tesla didn't come up with, I want to say, $2.6 billion. And he went to the board, persuaded very aggressively the board, supposedly, to buy this SolarCity thing. And, you know, there was a question of whether it was an arm's length transaction, because he also owned a piece of it himself.
It's his company, I always thought.
Yep. So something was a little bit weird there. But in his testimony at the start of the trial, he said, you know, he was kind of inferring, I don't like being the CEO of Tesla. He said in a testimony that it's very hard not to be the CEO of Tesla, but I have to, or frankly, Tesla is going to die. Thinking,
oh, wow.
Kind of, the CEO is the company. The company is the CEO.
Well, that's what he's making it sound like.
Very hard.
Not really a good thing. I mean, the company should have a strong CEO that's a visionary. There's no doubt about that, especially in technology or anything like it. And he qualifies as such, but they should be able to step aside. This is what happened to Microsoft. Gates isn't there anymore. Ballmer's not there anymore. Gates was the visionary. Ballmer was kind of a functionary, but shrewd, and a visionary enough to buy an NBA team. I guess that wasn't a dumb idea, except for the price he paid. And so you should be able to pull away without the company falling apart, because there should be somebody that you've either groomed or that has... Say, look at Apple. Apple's done better without Steve Jobs than with him, and he's the visionary type, and he puts this other guy in, kind of a clone, Cook, and they do fine. So I don't know what Musk is talking about.
Yep, I think he's feeling very big of himself is the point on that. That's all. I don't know why he needed to say that. You know, I don't know if he's looking for sympathy. Like, oh, poor guy. You know, I don't even.
It's also maybe he's looking for an excuse not to go up in a rocket.
Oh. Oh, yes. If something happens to me, Tesla is no longer. Oh. You think he's afraid?
Well, if I'm a CEO with a few billion dollars, I probably wouldn't do it. But, you know, it's just an attitude. I mean, Richard Branson's been in, you know, he's been always been kind of a daredevil of some sort. So he's the first guy that does it. No big surprise. I think Jeff Bezos had to quit being the CEO. He quit the CEO job so he could go up in a rocket. I don't know. It's just it's maybe Bezos won't do it now because what's the point? I'm not going to be the first anymore. So I might as well stay home. But Musk could have been the first. He definitely had the rockets to do it, but he wasn't going to do it.
Interesting.
But he can't do it because he's a CEO. So there you have
that. And the Tesla would fall apart. Tesla would die. Die. Tesla's going to die.
Yeah, can't have that.
Pepsi-Cola comes out with earnings today. Blew it out. Pretty good. Really impressive. Upped guidance. All the numbers across the board from margins to sales to earnings net. Pretty good. Really across the board. Look really well. Really good. Stock was up 2.5% today. You know, it's interesting, you know, nice dividend on that. Coke and Pepsi, I think, are really well positioned right now to kind of, you know, continue its leg move to the upside on this. Now, Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan came out, and as you'd expect, because this is what banks do, blew the number. I mean, just the numbers look kind of silly again, right? You know, you have like an $8 number and they came out 14.
Yeah, you know, crazy.
Crazy numbers.
Crazy.
But again, once again, in particular for Goldman, a lot of their increase in overall income was attributed to the books. So by going in and reversing the loan loss provision requirement that was had to be put during the pandemic, you know, they put all this money aside. That never happened because, again, nobody's allowed to fail. And therefore, the bonds and all these companies and all the different provisions that were put on because just in case there were all these defaults weren't needed at that level. So all that came back.
Tricky.
Yeah, all that came back on their income.
Yeah.
So the loan loss reserves helped out. This is the second quarter in a row. But what happened was at first both stocks were inching higher. Last couple of days they were higher. On this news, both did come down with the realization that, you know what, not – it doesn't
I'm
look
glad
as,
that people are starting to look at these numbers.
It doesn't look as good.
Mostly.
Yeah, doesn't look as good as we thought. OPEC, this whole thing with oil in the 70s plus range or whatever is really disturbing to me. But you know, now we have disagreements within OPEC, and there's a concern it could trigger a volatile period for oil with prices jumping on lack of supply and sinking suddenly if a member countries decide to release crude independently. So some are predicting that the price will jump regardless of demand. So I guess, you know, usually with traditionally you would think with commodities, the demand is what pushes the pricing, right? Usually you'd have a certain amount of goods. This is how many people want to buy whatever those goods are. And it kind of price moves and you adjust the amount of goods that are released to provide for that. But this whole thing that's gone on is all about OPEC squeezing it out and just shutting down supply. And prices artificially moving up.
Huh.
I don't know. It's
well, the prices are high.
Yeah, it kind of stinks to me.
And Biden thinks it's great, so what are you going to do? He does. He said it was great.
What, the price of oil is high?
Yeah, because that would force people to get electric cars.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. That was silly. That was silly. And then I heard a couple of people talk, oh, you know, the whole thing about inflation is all about because of automobiles and auto prices. Auto prices were definitely up, but it was a big part of one of the biggest moves of the overall inflation number. But it holds a small position in the actual index. So this whole thing that it moves higher, I don't know, it was just.
Nowadays, how often do people buy cars that it really affects their concerns about inflation? When's the last time you bought your car? You bought a car like what, 3 years ago?
A year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And what was it? Was I saying how was
not
this?
Buying another one?
No, nope, not for a while.
Yeah. So what? Who cares about the price?
Yep. On the Disciplined Investor podcast this week, I kind of tried to put some perspective on something because I got a lot of calls from people and or I should say comments, not really calls, comments and emails from people. And there was a theme that was kind of the last few months running through it. And it was all about prices are too high, market's going to crash or something of that nature, right? Or it's artificial that the Fed is pumping all this in, markets are going to crash. Or put whatever you want in front of it.
And markets are going to crash.
Markets are going to crash.
And they're not crashing, by the way, but they're going to crash. So, and of course they're going to crash.
But I wanted to address the issue of what was going on with regard to the Fed and what they're doing. And I tried to create the, you know, I always forget if it's an analogy or metaphor, but a relationship between the idea of jumper cables for a car and what the Fed is doing.
An analogy.
Yeah. So when your car dies, you call up somebody, hey, Irving, do me a favor. Bring your truck over and bring your cables over. My car won't start. And you put the cables on. You let it go for a couple of minutes, maybe. You know, you got Irving. Irving, put your foot on the gas, right? You know what I mean? That whole thing. Give it a little gas. And then you go in your car and you start your car, and hopefully it turns over. And once that happens, you wait a couple of seconds till everything's running right, and you take them off. And from there, the car itself, the alternator, then charges the battery, right? You know the cycle, right? It's on its own. Now, you don't want to turn your car off right then and there. There's not enough juice probably still in the batteries. Got to kind of drive it for a while. And then the alternators are going to continue charging it, and it's going to run on its own. Now, same thing with the economy. The economy dropped dead. The Fed threw on the jumper cables. The problem is the car not only started, it's running just fine, and the batteries are full, and some for reason, I don't know why, the Fed's got the jumper cable still on. When they take off the jumper cables, that does not mean the car is going to stall, and it doesn't mean the economy is going to drop, right? So it's kind of interesting that there's this concern about that. The one thing that I was more concerned about, I'm concerned about the Fed doing something stupid. But I'm more concerned about this FactSet story.
Well, before you continue.
Yes.
What would be stupid in your opinion?
What would be stupid if the Fed jacked rates really fast and surprised everybody, as opposed to give them plenty of room, slow it down, do it with.
Okay. Well, we can assume they're not going to do anything that stupid.
That's all. People get nervous if they start slowing down when it first happens. But you know what? We don't need all these bonds being purchased and all this liquidity in the markets. There's plenty of liquidity in the average person's bank account right now. Not everybody.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of money in people's bank accounts. I mean, people really did a substantial amount of savings and repairing of credit, as did companies.
Yeah, savings are way up.
Yeah. But this is the one thing that, check this out. This you're going to find, I think, very interesting.
Okay.
On average, this is from FactSet, on average, the quarterly bottoms-up EPS estimate during earnings season, right, for every quarter, usually decreases during a quarter. During the past 5 years or 20 quarters, the bottoms-up EPS estimate, when an analyst and the combination of analysts into and before earnings season, they say what they think these earnings are going to be, has recorded an average decline of 3.4% during a quarter up until the earnings season. So what they do is they start guiding down, hoping that companies can beat over the top. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's been going on for a while.
Right. During the past 10 years or 40 quarters, the bottoms-up EPS estimate has also recorded an average decline of 4%. During a quarter. And then in a 15-year period, we've seen a 5% average decline. Here's what's interesting. During the second quarter, which just is now, it's just happening, the analysts increased their earnings estimates for companies in the S&P 500 for the quarter on average of 7.3%.
Huh.
And the
question
is, how significant is the 7.3%? Well, basically, it is the most we've seen, except for one time, back for like the last 12, 15 years or so, and the last time was last quarter. So the question you have to ask yourself is analysts is our analysts just totally bought into their own BS to a point that they've jumped the shark and that this earnings season is just not going to be up to par? That makes sense?
Yeah, well, from your perspective, it does.
Yeah, if we know what happens usually, this is kind of opposite. And that's the one thing that's really bothering me about this quarter coming up. That while companies may do well, we've really pushed the estimates up pretty significantly.
Yeah.
So.
And as you pointed out earlier with the Goldman Sachs numbers, they're doing anything they can to make these numbers look better than they technically should be.
Right. So
I think all companies have the leeway to do that, too, if they have a good bookkeeper.
Of course. Yeah. Things can be moved around place to place and make it look right, right? What do you...
I'm always impressed by a creative accountant.
And that is an industry of itself. You know, that is... Yeah. Just to get back to this whole spaceship and Branson and Blue Origin with Bezos and SpaceX and all that. I know that you talked about this for a moment on the No Agenda show, but what is your thoughts about this whole fight of, well, you didn't go far enough. No, you only went 50 miles. Oh, no, I'm going 62 miles. Oh, that's high.
Yes, it's the yacht. I did the yacht analogy.
Oh.
And I know I've seen, I have not personally witnessed this, but people have, and they tell me that they've actually seen it. Two rich Silicon Valley guys have these big yachts. One of them pulls up. The other one pulls up. One of them is 10 feet longer than the one guy's. He goes out and sells that yacht and gets a bigger one because he can't stand the idea that his buddy's yacht is 10 feet longer. And this kind of petty competition is just sick. I don't know. Yeah, okay, you went up 52 miles. He's going to go up 62 miles. Fine. Until you go into orbit, it doesn't mean a lot as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. This is this whole, what's it called?
Go to orbit. Go into orbit. There you go. You can show off.
Well, they're debating the Kármán line, which is this, you know, where it starts and where space begins and starts and this whole thing. Yeah, I thought it was stupid.
Yep. Angels on a pinhead.
Yep. Wells Fargo, we got more stink.
Yeah.
They're ending a popular consumer lending product, which is the personal loans, the credit lines, shutting down all existing personal lines of credit in the coming weeks and no longer offering these products in the future. So revolving credit lines.
No sense.
No sense.
The type of bank that they are.
Well, I don't get it. Why would they do such a thing?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. What are they trying to change their banking strategy to become some of an investment bank?
They recently reviewed.
You're a consumer bank. They're supposed to have those products.
Lending is what you should be doing when you see interest rates going up and they're shutting it down. You know?
It's a mystery. There must be some scandal underlying this decision, and they were just going to have to wait for the scandal. There has to be a scandal involved. That's
something.
What Wells is. That's a scandal-ridden bank.
You think that maybe this is a back-ended SEC inquiry muzzled so that they don't admit anything but were forced to shut this down?
That's the only thing it could be. What else could it be?
Well, they said they reviewed the product offerings and decided to discontinue offering new personal and portfolio line of credits and accounts and close existing accounts. The move would let the bank focus on credit cards and personal loans. It's so stupid. Well, maybe they couldn't really jack you with interest on the personal line of credits. Maybe they could just really jack you at 21%. On your credit cards and personal loans.
I don't know.
Terrible.
I don't like doing business with them.
More price hikes. The Beers, not the team.
Yeah.
Diamond folk are raising price of diamonds an average of 5%. So good news, you're past the age of having to buy those things. We got a BNPLLAAS, which is a buy now, pay later, and the LAS, which is life as a service. We've talked about this, right? Where everything's going to go subscription.
Okay.
Right? Everything, your whole life is going to be subscription. So now today, The big announcement, Apple is working on a new service that will let consumers pay for any Apple Pay purchase in installments over time using the BNPL or Buy Now Pay Later offering, popularized by service providers like Affirm and PayPal, which I just think is a terrible idea. The whole thing is a terrible idea because it's like micro lending. Yes, I'd like to buy, let's see, I'd like to buy a toaster and pay it off. Treating,
it's like we're African natives in Africa that have to, living in a hut. And that's where micro lending comes in. You know, it's become very popular.
When I think of, yeah, when I think of micro lending, I think of not even third world, outskirt countries with little internet or even for that matter, running water, right?
Yeah, or electricity.
Yeah. So that's what I think of
micro. Yeah, and you do micro lending so some woman can start a company where she does hand weaving and she can sell it.
Hand weaving of hemp products. Yeah. So the upcoming service known internally as Apple Pay Later. So creative. These guys are so creative. We'll use Goldman Sachs Group as the lender for the loans needed to make the installments. The service is currently planned to work as follows. This is where it gets really interesting. When a user makes a purchase via Apple Pay on their Apple device, they will have the option to pay for it either across four interest-free payments made every 2 weeks. So that would be what? That would be every 2 weeks, four of them. It would be 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Or across several months with interest. The plan will have four payments called Apple Pay in 4. So creative. So creative. While the longer-term payment plans are dubbed Apple Pay Monthly Installments. These can't be the names. This can't be right. This is so creepy, these names.
It's just stupid.
Yep. So just to let you know that like Affirm, which stock did dive about 13% on this news, is they charge like 30% APR on these buy now, screw me later. Or maybe screw me now, screw me later, I guess what it is. I mean, the thought of buying something, why not? If this is how much different is this than pawn shops? Right, in reverse, right?
Or it sounds a lot like a pawn shop. Yeah,
payday lending where they just
payday. You
know, right. Payroll, yeah. Payday, right?
Yeah.
I have a guy that works for me every once in a while. I give him a check. He goes and cashes it, one of those payday, those same day cash services, check cashing stores.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm like, I just give you $300 and it cost you like $72.
I know.
I said, you know what? How about we do this instead next time? Instead of that, I'll give you $250 cash and be done with it. You know, I mean, it's so stupid.
It's just baffling to me. I have never understood it.
We got some expectations for inflation. The CPI report talked about that. Quick COVID, we talked about that. China, about Didi, we talked about that. Here comes the fine. So Didi's going to get fined $77,000 in lapses of reporting the acquisition of apps Kuo and Qguo, a milder penalty than thought. Oh, this is what I want to tell you. After all this is going on, ByteDance, which is TikTok, pulled their IPO.
Yeah, I saw that.
So
the Chinese, again, you know, they're meddling and they don't like something. They didn't like something. And so they said, no, you're not going to be able to, you can't do this. No.
I think it's a toll road. I really do. I think it's a toll road. It's just like when Jack Ma or any of these other guys, do you remember when Saudi Arabia, they rounded up all the billionaires?
Yeah.
And they came up
with them in a hotel, them in the Ritz and locked them in.
Until what?
Until they coughed up some money.
That's exactly what it was. Until they coughed up.
It was a shakedown.
It was exactly what it was. It was a total shakedown.
Yeah. Well, the logic of the shakedown, and I think China's been doing this, and they tried to do it with Hollywood. That's why Hollywood's bailing out from working with them. Because Hollywood didn't make any money on this. The shakedown is, look, you're making money because of us. So that means, the way we see it, 50-50 deal. Whatever you make, we want half of it.
Right.
And what? Well, wait, we can't work on that basis. Well, yeah, really? Well, then you're not doing that IPO. It's a shakedown. And that's what the Chinese have been doing to these companies that are successful.
Terrible. But
Well,
if you know it, don't be stupid about it. And you know what? Pay the.
I don't think that. I think these guys were naive. I think Jack Ma actually honestly believed that everything was on the up and up, and he was a genius. That's why he was so rich.
Oh, he think it was all him?
Yeah.
It wasn't the just the Chinese government allowing this to happen and then promoting it? That's stupid.
I'm telling you, I think these, some people get deluded.
Yeah, it is. I think that, yeah, I agree. I mean, wasn't he a school teacher? Wasn't he a school teacher or something?
I don't know. They probably locked him up and beat him. Who knows? But it wasn't, you know, what, he's not talking much now.
No, not at all. You don't see him. You don't hear from him. Anything like that. I think this is what's going on there. That ByteDance pulling their IPO is probably like, you know what? Let's negotiate first. What is it that you want? And then go from there.
Yeah.
So. And I don't even know what happened with the whole ByteDance thing where Oracle was buying them. Remember that whole thing? And we had Microsoft was going to buy. Remember that whole weird.
Yeah, until some Chinese intelligence guy shows up at the office and says, yeah, you can buy them if you want. We're going to shoot you.
That's all.
You might want to rethink this idea.
Yeah, may not be the best thing for your health.
But it's legal. It's all on the market. We should be able to just buy it. Yeah, so really? Ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah.
What caliber would you like in your brain? We'll give you a choice.
What would you like on your tombstone? Here I lie. Boeing shares were out with a whole nother hoop-de-doo today. Boeing shares fell more than 3% today. Then it seems they cut production of their 787 Dreamliners after a new flaw was detected.
Oh, God.
It happens to be
Boeing. It's one thing after another with this company, and their stock is still way too high.
Yeah. They cut its delivery targets for the planes also for 787s in the future. It looks like it's a maintenance issue that is something to do with the forward bulkhead cabin pressure, I believe, is what the issue was. It seems
Boeing has some serious problems at the high end of the company in the engineering department.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's why this new CEO.
This is not just one or two. No. This has been going on for a number of years now, and it's just getting worse.
It's not like that. I think they're also finally looking into it. Don't forget, for a long time, Boeing really controlled the FAA, right? Didn't we find that out?
Yeah. Well, that was until the double crash of the Max. That was the end of that idea.
Yep, it's gone. Yep, I agree.
Now they're screwed. I don't know. I don't like the stock. I've always liked the company, but I think the stock is way overvalued, and this company is borderline bankrupt.
They really did a number through COVID. They have a lot to pick up for and do. I mean, American Airlines came out with a little peek into earnings after the close tonight. Stock was up 1.5% or so. They went from a major loss of whatever it was to less of a loss they're going to project. This is before the earnings come out. They're doing a pre-announcement. And they have money flow into the company on a daily basis. In other words, net. I don't want to call it profit, but net money that will roll in after all expense of $1 million a day now, whereas they were losing like $100 million a day. So a little bit better situation than it was. Still
barely.
Yeah, still.
Well,
still,
no, not barely. It's a lot better, but geez.
Still has a long way to go. Hey, listen, gang, if you like what you hear, if you love what you hear, if you want to help out John, you want to really participate in the DH Unplugged experience, all you have to do is go over to dhunplugged.com and click on that yellow button that says donate, and donate at will. If you're learning a little something, getting a little entertainment, maybe we're helping you fall asleep. Maybe you found in our little game that we play some excitement, information, knowledge, education. That's what it's all about. So, you know, just it's kind of works two ways. We are here to provide, but it's always nice if we have a two-way conversation in that area. A couple other things on what's happening right now. We have to pick another closest to the pin. A little bit lacking this year. What are your thoughts on a stock for the close to the next one? Anything in
AMD?
AMD. We've done that before, I think, but that's good.
Do you think have we really?
Yeah, I think so, but it's okay. We can do that one. It's all right.
It's a company that's very interesting to me, the way that stock is.
And we'll get that there. Okay. A couple other things here. Tokyo Olympics, alcohol beverages will be banned at the Olympics.
Yeah, that's a winner. Where's Coke sponsorship?
And I don't know if it really matters because all spectators are banned anyway.
Yeah.
So
the ones who get to go in won't be able to drink anything.
Which I
it's a fiasco.
I don't really even understand. I do. I was talking to my friend in South Africa, and I said, listen, I don't understand why they're banning alcohol, which, by the way, he owns the largest vineyards in South Africa, okay? So when he tells me they're banning alcohol sales, it's not a good discussion, okay? All right? So
yeah. It's a couple of big vineyard owners. This guy, he's probably in Franschhoek or where is he?
He's down in the Robertson. Yeah, right down by Franschhoek. He's in Robertson. Huge piece of property. Huge. Four Cousins is the name of the firm down there. Anyway, it's kind of fun. My friend's picture is on the bottle of the label. Anyway, the problem, I said, why is it? What is it? What? Why are they doing this? He says, listen, it's not for like what you may think. It's because they want to limit the alcohol illnesses and related illnesses, possibly DUIs and things like that, in the hospital because they're freeing up beds to put COVID patients in. That's the whole thesis. It's not necessarily, oh, people drink and then they get close together and that spreads the disease as much. It's alcohol illnesses.
It's to keep the drunks out of the hospital. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So we won't have any drunks in the hospital in Tokyo either. And last thing here, I think you are going to think this is fascinating. I think I sent this to Adam. Something called, second passports or plan.
Oh, what?
Secondary passports, plan B passports. Mm-hmm. So Russian expatriate, Katie Aninyanyanyanyanyanya, has spent the last 3 years helping people dodge taxes on their Bitcoin gains. It's part of the mission to stick to the man, one in the case of tax avoidance, at all times. So as the name suggests, Plan B Passport offers crypto-rich clients a path to a second passport in their pick of seven, mostly tropical, tax haven states, all of which are exempt from capital gains taxes on crypto holdings. So U.S. citizens have a problem with this because they have to renounce their citizenship not to be taxed on crypto profits.
Yeah.
But sounds right. And in St. Lucia, you can attain citizenship by an investment between $100,000 of a donation or $250,000 government bond or $300,000 real estate investment, and you can become a citizen, and therefore there's no taxes. And then what you do is you put your citizenship, your secondary citizenship, and accounts under that particular passport in that name, and possibly you're good to go.
Yeah, sure.
But again, as a U.S. citizen, you are bound to pay taxes and report all of your worldwide income, So you'd have to.
This is one of those schemes. I've seen them. Probably not a bad idea. If you were, say you had $10 million in Bitcoin profits, and that can happen, or maybe more, $100 million, let's say.
Right.
And you really didn't want to pay capital gains taxes on it. You could do this and they'd still go after you.
Mm-hmm.
It's no way that you can, you just can't get away from it. Just pay the taxes. You got 10, let's say $100 million in free money because you got lucky with Bitcoin. You bought it at, let's say, 50 cents a coin. And now you're trying to cheap. You've never been worth this much before. Now you're trying to cheap your way out.
Right. Oh,
give me a break.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's hey, nobody should get anything that's mine. I earned this all on my own. What are you giving me, buddy, right? Terrible.
It's crazy.
Yep, it is.
I don't like taxes. I think they suck, and I think they take too much money, and then they squander it. They don't do a very good job of spending it.
Well, we know that, but it's part of the game, right?
That's make different than this. This right. is that you should be, I don't know. It's just, it's galling.
Yep, I agree. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in this segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. still got a lot of green at the top. That's really kind of been the story.
Yeah, green at the top. The rest is mixed. But the ones that are mostly mixed are the, let me take a look. They're like mostly like these pockets. Derivative style investments that are not working out.
Mm. Got one pulled. Morphic Holdings got pulled. Up 11.6%.
Yeah, but it was still way up.
Planet Fitness short is working. Negative.
How come this thing? How come this ETFMG alternative harvest ETF didn't get pulled?
Because that's when we had 20% on it for a while. We could take it. Big. We could kill it. Down 15%. Was it down today? No, it was flat for the day. And that's after Biden's talking about a federal acceptance of marijuana. Crazy.
Yeah.
Did nothing for the stocks today.
DD
Global we have on there. Both of our picks up 3.59% from where we picked it last week. Shopify down 2%. You're on the long side of Shopify. Asana, you're up 8%. Holy moly. You're like, look at that chart. It's going straight up. You go, it has. And you said, I'm doing it because of Peter Thiel. And it has a lot more to go. That's what you said.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what you said. Right.
Your GameStop Go Again 8 is now up 18.69%.
Like the winner that the gift that keeps on giving.
This should be some hedge fund out there that got burned. I think that main guy that got burned, what was his name? The main guy that got burned. Remember that guy? He was down.
That guy.
He ended up being down 42% for the first half of this year.
Yeah.
42%.
Should take my lead.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm saying, Dvorak is available for a very substantial fee to help you navigate through this GameStop fiasco, right?
Yeah, that's the way I see it.
Yep. Real quick, because we're running out of time, I have one pick. It's a long shot. It's the one thing, and to keep going back to the idea of, like, Didi, if just one thing goes right, this could really pop. I'm going to go with Workhorse again, which is the company that didn't get the deal. Oshkosh got it. With regard to the post office for the electric vehicles, EVs, for their EV.
Yes.
I'm going for that one.
I like to follow this too.
What do you have?
I got nothing.
Okay. Well,
I was looking at some insider stuff, and it all seems to be biotech. And I think there's biotech on here already. I don't want to stay in one sector. So,
Train is up 113%. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, Train is another gift that keeps on giving without any work.
Right. FMC Bank Corp. It's on here somewhere, right? Let me have that somewhere.
It's up at the top, FVC.
Oh, yeah. They bought another company today.
Up 67. That's a rocker. That thing could go. That could double again.
Unbelievable.
If that thing goes to $30 a share, it wouldn't surprise me.
Wow. It's 17 and a half right now. That'd be pretty amazing. That'd be pretty amazing. Unbelievable. Yeah. These names, it's just remarkable. And, you know, the good news is we're up. We got AP Moller. That was the shippers that were short. Yeah. That's up 2.5%. Not a big deal. Planet Fitness, short, up 5.5%. Your Netflix short is down 6%. Okay.
Yeah, the Netflix ones, that's
temporary.
I don't recommend anybody following my lead on Netflix. I had one good hit years ago, and that was about it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to end it right there and catch up with you again next week.
Yes, do that. Give me a call when the show's over from the phone. I have a question about something.
I shall.
All right, great. All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.